1-800-875-1179.
We roll on to another week across America. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, the name of this show, America Tonight. We're taking a wild ride this hour as we zig and zag all over the place. We're taking you to Orlando in a courtroom where one woman has captivated a nation, sadly, after being accused and now being tried for the murder of her 2-year-old daughter. Will she get the death penalty? Will it be a mistrial? Does she walk away from that courtroom? We're going to go there in another 10 minutes. What else is ticking around this great nation? Sadly, wind's a big problem in a huge fight against a bunch of fires in the Southwest in Arizona and New Mexico. People who thought they might be safe are now heading away from their homes. Thank goodness they're not trying the old trick of let me go get the hose and come around and spray the roof. When I lived in Santa Barbara, some of you can relate to this with the Santa Ana winds, every once in a while we'd have these wicked fires, scary fires. Even as a television reporter at the time, as you got closer to those live shots, you know, where the anchor person throws to the person in the field in the middle of the raging fire, it got a little dicey. I learned a lot about winds and fire, and I saw some people do some crazy things where I understand they didn't want to leave their homes, and they thought, well, if I could just keep everything wet, if I could surround the perimeter, maybe I can help the firemen, and then the firemen would frantically be trying to evacuate people at the very last minute, worried that they were going to end up with casualties of whatever fire it was that they were trying to put out at the time. Because, as you know, a lot of fires bubble up in one So standing your ground is not the answer when you're in the middle of those fire situations that we were just talking about. Speaking of a fire, it was like a fire, like a house on fire. The argument over the War Powers Act is really on the top of a lot of people's minds. Now, Robert Gates, Secretary of the Defense, short-timer, says there was no violation here. He doesn't understand what everyone's been whipped into a frenzy over arguing about Libya. Dick Durbin and John McCain disagree on the War Powers Act, and they got into it as part of the Sunday fracas. Here's what they had to say.
I reject the Republican approach, which has been suggested by Speaker Boehner and others, to cut off the troops. It would give solace to Gaddafi. It would undermine the people who are resisting him in that nation.
The Congress of the United States should pass a resolution, and Senator John Kerry and I have a resolution that's ready to go, that would comply with the War Powers Act. The War Powers Act, every president has said, that they don't agree with its constitutionality, but they have adhered to it.
All right, so you heard what McCain said there. They don't agree with it, other presidents, but they have adhered to it. Over the weekend, President Obama played golf with part of the foursome, was House Speaker John Boehner. And Boehner was going hard and fast after the president on the War Powers Act. So like I said, over the weekend on one of the Sunday shows, it was heavily debated on NBC's Meet the Press, for example, just one of the many shows where they talked about it. And in talking about Libya and whether or not we're going to defund whatever it is we're doing with Libya, because Gaddafi is still in power, NATO is leading the charge, but we're a big chunk of NATO. So one of the things that was said, was, which was interesting, Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican from South Carolina, of course, longtime Republican from that state, representing that state, has argued that the War Powers Act is unconstitutional because it's an infringement on the power of the commander-in-chief. Wow. And he said that there's no way that we should defund what's going on in Libya, because if we do, NATO is going to be destroyed and the price of oil will double because Gaddafi will continue to wreak havoc in the region. But see, we're at a stalemate here. How long can we continue to, I just don't see how we can continue to be invested in Libya. I disagree with him. How much money are we going to keep pouring into the sands of Libya, and at what cost to us? I mean, he was hot. He said Congress should just shut up. He used the words, Congress should shut up and not empower Gaddafi. So do you think by arguing over the War Powers Act and not trying to dump more money into Libya that we are killing ultimately what will be the price of oil and that we are killing NATO? I think his take is interesting. And Graham thinks that this is part of the ploy of anybody who's running for president on the Republican side of things. Now, remember, Graham is a Republican. And last week, he was talking about Mitt Romney and comparing Mitt Romney to Jimmy Carter. So he's not running for president. He doesn't want to run for president, but he has no trouble kicking some of the people in the Republican Party that he thinks shouldn't be empowered. And he's agreeing with the president. He's saying that the president is right, that the War Powers Act is unconstitutional because, as I said, I'll repeat it again, it is an infringement on the power of the commander and chief. But I think the opposite. Shouldn't there be some constraints on the commander in chief? Because you could have the opposite results. Now, listen, Gaddafi has to, I think he has to be stopped. But at what point do we not be involved in the effort? Because, you know, are we halfway in and halfway out? That's also part of the problem here. And I don't think we're going to solve this in just a few minutes on America Tonight, by the way. All right, coming up on the flip side, as I promised, we're going to head to Orlando for our re-rack of the week. Speaking to Chris O'Donnell, who's covering every single day that trial, about some of the highlights of what happened midweek last week. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, June 17, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,528.70. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,567.43, $783.72 for a half ounce, or $391.86 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,567.43, $783.72, and $391.86.
The Constitution and the Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore, trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I have teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter-ounce pure gold coin. For only $440 plus shipping, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendovite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendovite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendovite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We've been talking about this trial a lot here on America Tonight. Of course, the Casey Anthony circus, because that's what it is. People lining up to get tickets in the morning so that they can sit in the courtroom. Apparently, they have 50 seats available for the public. Well, the latest thing is the prosecution has rested. This is after about 3 weeks of testimony. Chris O'Donnell is covering the trial in Orlando for a local television station. She's been there each and every day. Chris, this is a big deal that the prosecution is done. Were you surprised in watching what was going on at the length of time they took, or did you think maybe it would have taken longer?
Well, I think initially the thought was that it would take longer, but what happened was is the defense, when they gave their opening arguments, really laid out their whole case. And in doing that, many legal experts say they made a mistake because they, in essence, gave the prosecution their playbook. So the prosecution could sort of hold back witnesses, wait for the defense to put on their witnesses, and then they can bring anybody they want in rebuttal. So I think it was once the defense gave the opening statements, I think most experts agreed that this would take about 3 to 4 weeks, and that's where we're at. So tomorrow, beginning at 9 a.m., the defense will start calling their witnesses, and then the state gets the last word. So the state can come on and give a rebuttal to anything that the defense has to say before the case ultimately goes to the jury. And I wouldn't be surprised, Kate, that right now there are probably people sitting in the middle of downtown Orlando outside the courthouse waiting to get in.
It's the hardest ticket to get. I read that people were even arguing that some fists were flying over where they were waiting, you know, where their spot was in line, waiting to get these tickets. That's just crazy. And you've seen it firsthand, and that's what it's like, right? There's a little line.
Yeah, there's a line. People will start lining up usually about midnight, 1 a.m., and then there's like a mad dash across the street when the doors open and everybody gets in line. And, yeah, there have been fist fights. There have been people taken out of the hospital. I mean, it is really, I think when you say circus atmosphere, I think you are absolutely right.
Yeah, there you go. What's the deal with the judge denying and all the different things that have happened in this case? This is a big one, and someone was talking to me, an attorney, about this earlier in the day. What about the judge denying Casey Anthony's acquittal motion? That's not necessarily surprising if you didn't watch it.
Actually, Yeah, actually, Kate, that was expected. That's something that typically happens in these types of cases. There always is, once the state rests, the defense will file a motion for acquittal, and it was not unexpected, and it was also not unexpected that the judge would say no. The motion for acquittal is denied. He's basically saying that the state has brought enough evidence in the case, and it's now up to the jury to decide, not the judge. So he basically took about an hour to say no. He cited a number of law cases, but in the end he said, no, the judge, the motion for acquittal is denied. But that was not unexpected. That was something they expected to have happen.
Yeah. How about this one? Casey Anthony's defense attorneys, you mentioned now it's their turn. They're trying to question a convicted felon who was in prison for kidnapping, and they were saying in all these court documents they're filing that he's linked to Casey Anthony's father through the cell phone records. What do you know about that?
Yeah, well, that was a late thing that happened today after court had recessed. The defense added Evasco Thompson to their witness list. He was convicted in 1988 on kidnapping charges, served 10 years in prison. So obviously he is a felon. They're claiming that he made a number of phone calls, or no, let me take that back, that he and George had cell phone contact, George Anthony had cell phone contact four times on July 14th. That's the day before that 911 call by Cindy Anthony. And they're saying that they just discovered him and they wanted to pose him. So they've added him to the witness list. Now, George Anthony's attorney has come out and said, we have no idea who this is. George doesn't know who this person is. George has had no contact with this person. And it's just the defense's way of trying to discredit George Anthony at the 11th hour. So it's yet to be determined if the judge is even going to allow it. But he was a late add to the witness list, and the defense said that they do want to depose Vasco Thompson.
Yeah. Speaking of Casey Anthony's parents, apparently the defense also wants the parents kept out of the courtroom, but they're not going to win on that one, you think?
No, they haven't. They haven't up to this point, because there was a big brouhaha about it before trial started, basically saying, you know, they can't be in there because they're called as witnesses in this case, but because they are grandparents of the victim, they're allowed to be in court, because the victim's relatives are allowed to be in court. And because in this case they are grandparents of the victim, the judge said, yes, they can stay in court. And that includes her brother, Lee Anthony. He was allowed in as well.
Yeah. We're speaking with Chris O'Donnell. She's, of course, covering this trial in Orlando, the Casey Anthony trial. And Chris, you know, in talking about the parents and all the testimony that we've gone through and the prosecution resting, what's the thought on Casey Anthony and whether or not she gets up there and starts to testify again? You think will that be a long affair for the defense?
Boy, it's a big question, Kate, and it's one that keeps being asked down at the courthouse. Are they or are they not going to call Casey? The only people that know are the defense attorneys. But, you know, many legal experts that I've spoken to say that would probably be a disastrous move, because the prosecution could really start hammering home the fact that, you know, she had lie upon lie upon lie upon lie. And the defense has basically admitted that. Yes, she lied about all these things, but her daughter drowned in an accidental death in the swimming pool, and her father tried to cover it up, and we're going, you know, she is telling the truth about that. So in that case, you know, the defense takes a huge risk. But at the same time, they've laid so many things out there that, you know, Casey was abused by her father and her brother, and Kaylee died in the swimming pool. They may have no other recourse but to put her on the stand to try and prove some of these things. But I think at this point in time, Kate, your guess is as good as mine, and I think everybody is wondering, is she or is she not going to take the stand? And if that does happen, I can tell you that the circus that is currently at the courthouse will be ratcheted up by about 10 levels, I think.
I'm sure there's going to be television live trucks parked all over the place, not like they aren't already, but even more so, as everybody and anyone will scramble around to get a little piece of real estate to try to go live from that courthouse. Chris, do you think, you know, we're talking about the prosecution and the fact that they rested. How did they afterwards, and because they've been pretty vocal with the media, do they feel, what did they say to the media about their case? Do they feel pretty confident? Did they make any statements to that effect afterwards?
They don't. I mean, you know, we've been there trying to get comments from them, and they, you know, they're not going to just say a word to the media. The defense team hasn't said, you know, anything to the media as well. I think they let their case speak for itself. and everybody can see on TV how they're laying out their case. You know, these are experienced prosecutors. I think they have a record of something like 27 of 30 in death penalty cases. I mean, they know what they're doing. They have been down this road before. So I think their feeling is, you know, our work speaks for itself. Our case speaks for itself. The defense team certainly isn't you know, going to say much to the media either, because you know, neither side wants really, you know, to give an inch or have anything that might land in the press. And the witnesses haven't either. I mean, they're instructed not to talk to the press. So, you know, basically our view of the prosecution's case is what we are, you know, what we are seeing on TV. Oh, and by the way, I did hear today that talking about if Casey takes the stand, people will start selling those tickets. You know, the tickets that they have waiting in line, and I heard today the going rate was like 500 or something like that. But that was just one of the rumors floating around Casey Town, as we call it.
Wow, scalpers for a trial. That's got to be a first, yeah. Other than probably O.J. Simpson, maybe. It's crazy. Speaking of a dollar amount, a lot has been made about how much is this going to cost the state of Florida. I heard it's going to cost maybe $1 million for this trial. Is that? Have you heard numbers like that?
I've heard a couple of $100,000 at this point. The defense has billed the state, I think, around, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, Kate, but I think they have billed the state around $150,000. So I think million maybe a bit much, but who knows? I mean, all the final bills aren't in. So, I mean, this case has been going on for 3 years. And the defense is, you know, is using private investigators. You know, it is a costly defense in a very high-profile case. So I don't know if it'll make $1 million, but certainly a couple of $100,000 dollars is not, you know, out of the norm at all.
Yeah. As far as Casey Anthony's concerned, you see people going in and out of the courthouse. Does she have a group of friends or associates or whatnot that are there in the courtroom as well, or no?
There does not seem to be at all, no. I mean, the only people that are related to Casey or their, you know, for Casey would be her parents. And whether they are, in fact, there for her or not remains to be seen, since they're, you know, they are testifying against the prosecution. So, no, there doesn't appear to be anything like that, no.
Wow. Well, it's definitely interesting, and who knows what the timeline is, as we were talking about. We saw what happened with the prosecution. Don't know how long it's going to take the defense. Certainly we know we're going to go into July, I would think. I don't believe they're going to wrap up that quickly. Is that kind of the prevailing thought around the courthouse?
Yeah, the prevailing wisdom, I think, is that the jury could get the case by the 25th of June to the 27th of June. And then from there, who knows how long they will take to deliberate. Now, if they come back with a conviction of any kind, then, of course, as you know, you go into the penalty phase, which is like a mini trial in and of itself. So we're kind of guesstimating, and again, this is just a guesstimate, you know, early to mid-July. But anything can happen. You know, things have come out of left field with this case, so we really don't know. But the guesstimate right now is early to mid-July.
Chris O'Donnell, thanks so much.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need MyPillow. Guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, MyPillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. MyPillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. MyPillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. MyPillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Has the whole world gone mad?
What's going on?
How can they do that?
Can Christians have demons?
Why are politicians so detached?
Need answers to these questions? This is Scott Ensor for HardcoreChristianity.com.
the nastiest Christian radio show and website in the country. When it comes to the biblical truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God, about what's really going on in America and the rest of the world. Come join us each day as Michael W. Smith of the House of Healing in Phoenix reveals what the churches in America failed to tell you about the true spirit realm concerning demonic activity, mental illness, and even the basis of hardcore evil that is sweeping mankind. Visit HardcoreChristianity.com. Remember, you cannot negotiate with evil. You have to eradicate it. It's not too late. Live in or visiting the Phoenix area? Come join us twice a week for our healing and deliverance services or attend our free monthly seminars. Check website for service hours and schedules.
HardcoreChristianity.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, CrossbreedHolsters.com.
235 years ago, our forefathers signed the Declaration of Independence to escape tyranny and oppression. Today, there is a need to reinforce that declaration. What can we do to protect our health as a nation and in our homes from those who wish to control the quality of our air and water? To find out, you need to visit airandaqua.com right now or call 612-767-2777. You will receive a free copy of our Constitution, a newsletter, and bonus items. AirandAqua.com. Purify your life today.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic. And as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Coming up on America Tonight in our next segment, folks, a little sneak preview. Somebody won the U.S. Open by 8 strokes. Any idea who it was if you weren't watching? Worth mentioning, 22-year-old Phenom. That's the only hint I'm going to give you. Also, what happened in Michigan on the track? If you're a fan of the left turns, you'll want to hear the tail end of this race. And a couple of other things we're going to throw in for good measure as far as sports is concerned. In the meantime, something that's been really weighing heavily on my mind and should be on yours, if you're a fan of ordering things off the internet, any concerns about taxing the internet? You know, states are bleeding to death. They cannot find their way back out of debt. A lot of states are in that situation. You see what's happening with education. So some say the answer, since nobody wants to legalize marijuana and tax the crap out of pot, one of the things that's been suggested is tax the internet. Let states tax the internet. And then they'll raise plenty of revenue because you think, well, for example, Amazon.com. How many people go to Amazon.com and order things? A lot of people order things off the internet. I guarantee in this audience, probably 85% of you, if you're listening to me in Bridgeport, Connecticut, if you're listening to me in Ottumwa, Iowa, what many of you have in common is the fact that you go to the internet as a convenience factor and you get frankly, a lot of cheap, good deals, right? And you get it delivered right to your house. You don't have time to go out there and pick through bargains or run out to Barnes & Noble if you can find them anymore because, I mean, I shouldn't say that. They still exist, but books are shrinking. However, a lot of people go to Amazon.com for a lot of other things. So here's the scoop. Because states are struggling across this great nation, right, laying off teachers, closing public libraries and parks, and reducing all kinds of services, what is being discussed is, okay, here's a way we can get revenue. Internet retailers like Amazon, I brought up Amazon because that seems to be, that's such a big one that everybody's looking at Amazon. So if you were to tax it, like in California, the uncollected taxes, they say, from Amazon sales alone is the same amount cut from child welfare stuff in their state budget. So they could just push that right back in. Because the way it works is internet retailers, all the places that you and I go, have to collect sales tax only when they sell to customers living in a state where they have a physical presence, meaning a store or an office. So when somebody orders from out-of-state retailers, they're required under law to pay the tax. But, you know, really, are they enforcing this? How many times do you think that really happens anyway? So the seller doesn't have to worry about that responsibility. Buyers save 3 to maybe 9% because they don't, you're not paying the sales tax, and they say states lose the revenue. Ooh, I hate the idea of this. I hate the idea of taxing it. I do. So sales tax revenue has slumped in a lot of places in the last probably 3 or 4 years. So they're grasping at straws and they're trying to figure out ways to collect. And you got people, retailers and a bunch of other people in a lot of states are coming up with ways to solve the problem. And some people actually support this and some say, get out of here. And a lot of people like Amazon, they're not thrilled about this. They're saying it doesn't apply to me. And personally, I think the consumer is going to pay in the end. If you order things off the internet, I don't like the idea. And the reason I bring it up is because I'm very familiar with this story in looking at the comparisons to California, looking at the comparisons to Texas. And remember last year, New York actually pushed through a law that said internet retailers' practice of paying commissions to marketing agents within the state constituted a presence. So Arkansas, Colorado, Rhode Island, North Carolina, I'm probably missing somebody, but they all followed up with the same laws. And also bills are in the works in California, which I mentioned, Florida, Hawaii, Massachusetts, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Texas. Texas actually passed that, but Governor Rick Perry vetoed it. So now they're trying to resurrect the bill again. California, like I said, they're the great shining example because they're in desperate straits. They say they lose about $200 million a year in uncollected taxes from online sales. So what's going to happen is if you order things, trust me, you are going to pay more. You're going to pay more. And do you think that's fair? Do you want to pay that extra money? That's what you got to ask yourself. I don't know. There's just something about it that it just hits me wrong. I think ultimately what's going to happen is with these online people, they'll figure out ways where they're going to have to add on theirs. So if you're going online to save money, and I think in theory that's what we're doing, right? Then we're not going to really save money because they're going to have to slam it back to us, and that's part of the problem. You think of, you just think of places like Amazon, I guess, is the biggest one I could think of. So the Supreme Court sided with online retailers in their Quill decision, if you remember that, and they said Congress should pass a law standardizing sales tax collection It's so convoluted, isn't it? But I'm gonna say all the words. Under the Interstate Commerce Clause. So here's the thing. Is your state pro-business or anti-business? Are you pro-state rights or not? I think it has to go state by state. Even there's the thing called the Main Street Fairness Act, which was reintroduced, because this has come back around again in Congress, by Senator Dick Durbin, who said the act would be a helping hand to state and local governments when they need it the most. So here's the thing. They're going to try to figure out ways to make up the revenue. Is this the right way to do it? Some of you probably are saying, you know what, I don't care, because I'm not ordering anything online, so I don't care about it. But I think more people than not actually go online, and it is partially because of the convenience and saving the money. Look, this is the thing. They're avoiding cutting spending. So it's always about raising taxes somehow. If you're trying to find revenue, why not cut out all of the waste? Why not that? Or, I'm sorry to say this, but what about all of the breaks where we've seen services not cut to illegals, and some states are drowning because of that? I've used this example before, so pardon me if you've heard this, but I think it's the best example. Parkland Hospital in Dallas, Texas, because so many illegals go there for treatment, and then somebody will say, well, that's not true. It is true. I've checked on it, triple checked on it. It's true. They sent a bill to Mexico, to our good friend Felipe Calderon, the president of Mexico, for $3 million, saying, we can't afford this. Here's the bill. And knowing that certainly it wasn't going to get paid, but to make a statement that who's paying for this? We feel terrible. We're not turning them away. We're not turning people away, but we can't pay for this anymore. How do we afford this? We're passing this on to other people who have to already pay premiums for the insurance they have. So there's an example. What about all the services that are out there for people that are in the country illegally? If we added that up, how much money is that? So instead, it's always about who can we tax? What tax can we throw up out there? How can we save this money? What can we do? How can we get this money back? I'm sick of it. I'm sick of hearing that. So ponying it up and marrying it to the internet, to me, is, again, disastrous for the person who's buying the stuff off the internet, because ultimately it's going to get passed on to you, right? I'm telling you, it gets to the point where we're going to start making our own clothes again. If anyone out there can sew, you're in a good situation. Because, and that's the other thing, a lot of times people will save money, they'll order clothes off the internet. So, you know, think of it. Books, clothes, whatever. And it's a way where they can afford to get extra khakis for their kid who's going to school, because he has to have a few outfits, for goodness sake. Oh my. So I went off on a tangent, as occasionally we do here. If you have any thoughts on internet taxes as a way to actually close budget gaps, maybe you think I'm all wet on this. Maybe you think, who cares? If it's tough to collect the taxes, let's figure out a way to do it. I think Congress should pass something. I think that it needs to trickle down. And so when consumers want to order from these out-of-state retailers and they're supposed to pay the tax, but they don't do it and it doesn't get enforced, well, they're circumventing the law and they should have to pay it. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you think this is the right way to do it, and that the states across the country who are laying off, like I said, teachers and closing down libraries, this would be a way that they could turn it around and have enough money that they don't have to do that. Send me your thoughts, americatonight.net. Coming up next, sports shorts.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C? We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
You've been waiting and waiting and waiting to prepare. And now, it's here now. The huge summer blowout sale at TrueWilderness.com. How much will you save? Up to 70% store-wide. Save this week on Alpine Air No. 10 cans, Wise Food Storage, Berkey Water Filters, Food Dehydrators, Pressure Cookers, Sawyer Water Filters, and much more at up to 70% off. But only at TrueWilderness.com. This is the preparedness sale you've been waiting for. TrueWilderness.com has every item you need for any emergency. Shelter in backpacks, knives and tools, lighting and radios, first aid, food storage, water filters, and much more. And now, during the huge summer blowout sale, save up to 70%. Call 877-573-7173 or go to TrueWilderness.com. Hurry, call 877-573-7173 or shop online at TrueWilderness.com. This summer sale is going on now through June 25th. True Wilderness, an urban survival company.
Shorts, as I promised, coming up, we're going to talk about the kid from Northern Ireland and how he ripped up the U.S. Open. Also, Hamlin's big win and the Sprint Cup, as far as that race is concerned, in Michigan. Serena Williams back after bizarre health problems have plagued her. She's lucky to be alive. I'm going to tell you about that and a few other things we'll throw in as well. But first, let's go to Al in Canada. Hello, Al.
Hi, Kay. You know, the Boston Bruins set three records on Wednesday. When they won the Stanley Cup, that's the first time that a major U.S. city in an eight-year period has won all four champions, football, basketball, baseball, and hockey, right?
Yeah, that was how huge is that for them?
I don't think any other city's ever. I think it was about an eight-year period. They won all four major championships, and also they shattered another record. Vancouver was convinced that they were going to win the Stanley Cup because in 1976, Montreal hosted the Summer Olympics, And a year later, the Montreal Canadiens won the Stanley Cup. In 1988, Calgary, Alberta hosted the Winter Olympics. In 1989, a year later, the Calgary Flames won the Stanley Cup. So they figured because last year Vancouver held the Winter Olympics, right?
Yeah.
That this year, 2011, I can't remember what bloody year it is. 2011, a year later, that they were entitled to win the Stanley Cup because this is a tradition. If you hold this summer, if you hold the Olympic Games next year, your city wins the Stanley Cup. So my hat is off to the Boston Bruins. And one other thing, the Boston Bruins.
Wait, unless you're like London, and then you're not doing it because they're not winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, well, cricket. They'll win some cricket or soccer, but
okay.
I don't know squats about this. To me, cricket puts me to sleep, and soccer puts me to sleep. But
well, soccer would be big. Yeah.
I've never watched a soccer game in my life. It looks like the whole bloody game's in slow motion. But you know, and also another record they broke. There's three records they broke. They're the first team that won. I think they won three or four Game 7s. They stretched out three series to Game 7, and they won game. I don't think any other team in a playoff series has been in three 7-game series and won all Game 7s. Have you ever heard of that before?
Not that I know of. You mean in the city?
Yeah, for one team. Like Boston Bruins, like in football, baseball, basketball, or hockey, there's only and golf. There's only five sports as far as I'm concerned. Well, I don't watch baseball or basketball too much, but there's only three sports as far as I'm concerned, football, golf, and hockey. But I've never heard of any other team winning that many Game 7s because that shows you can take pressure. If you can win Game 7, you've got ice water in your veins, right?
Well, you are mega.
You're cool.
You're cool as a cucumber. Yeah.
And Rory McIlroy, it's a good day to be Irish. I'm not Irish, but it's a good day to be Irish because Boston is an Irish town, right?
Yeah, Irish Italian.
Yeah, Boston is pretty much. Well, it used to be an Irish, but it's got Irish. So they won They won the Stanley Cup, and Rory McIlroy is from Ireland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good day to be Irish. But you know, at the Masters, he shot 64, 64, 64, 84. I'm exaggerating a little bit. I mean, I'm in that area. You know, I mean, he shot 364s and then an 84. But today, I think he's learned how to take the pressure, don't you?
I think he definitely has learned how to take the pressure, absolutely.
And once you get one quick comment about the Vancouver riot, if I could. There was a sociology professor from Kent State University in Ohio, I think in the middle of January, they probably wished her from Hawaii, but in Kent State University in Ohio, he was on the Canadian, we have NPR and PBS up, he was on our NPR up here, and he was blaming the riot on young white males. He didn't take phone calls, but I looked at the video, and there were a lot of young white males in there, but there were a hell of a lot of East Indian males. There were a hell of a lot young Chinese males.
Yeah.
He's one of these guys that blames everything on white people. You know, he's one of these sociology problems. All of the evil in the world is indirectly or directly responsible, is caused by white people. And that's absolutely great. That riot, I think a lot of those rioters were out there. They're pissed off because marijuana is not legal. This is the same. I recognize a couple of the guys. They're big in the legalized marijuana crowd, and they're big in the down with death to capitalism. One of the guys I recognize from a anarchist. He wants to destroy free enterprise. So I think there was more than just hockey involved in that riot.
I agree. I was the sociologist. He should have studied that tape a little bit better. From what I saw, I would agree with you, Al. Thanks for the call. That it wasn't. I just didn't see a sea of all white guys. And what you just said, mentioning guys who were protesting all kinds of other things that happened to show up in some of this video and photographs. Absolutely. I don't think it was hockey fans. There might have been some hockey fans that were whipped up into a frenzy and were part of it because my goodness, so much was set on fire there. But It wasn't strictly because Vancouver lost the cup to the Boston Bruins. No. There was more to it than that. So if someone was going to study the tape or look at the photographs, I think that they would come up with a better conclusion than the one that the sociologist you heard on National Public Radio came up with. I'd have to vehemently disagree with him. All right, let's jump to the kid from Northern Ireland, just 22, Rory McIlroy. Al set us up brilliantly for that. You saw how he was clicking along at the Masters and then collapsed on the final day. He did not collapse at the U.S. Open. He tore it up. He tore it up. He won by 4 strokes. Just amazing. He set a tournament scoring record by 4 strokes. He tore it up by 8 strokes, beating the rest of the crowd. Here's what McIlroy had to say about it.
Watching Tiger Woods win the Masters at 21 and go on to dominate like he has done for the last 15 years, you know, I think everyone that grew up in the same era as me, you know, wanted to emulate him and do the same things. To win one so early on in your career is huge. You know, it, as you said, takes the pressure off a bit, but, you know, you don't want to just stop at one. You want to try and move on. And, you know, there's 2 more major championships this year, and, you know, I want to try and put myself in a good position to win both of them as well. It's incredible. You know, Dad really wanted to come out. He just loves golf, you know, and he wanted to come out and see the golf course more than anything else. You know, he'd heard great things about Congressional. And to have him here, you know, he's been great for me this week, you know, having breakfast with him, and he's always very positive. You know, he's reassuring me, you know, you're going to be fine, you know. And that it's maybe something that I just didn't have at Augusta that I needed this week. And, you know, it was definitely great to have him here, and you know, great to give this trophy to him for a Father's Day gift. You know, it's a great feeling, and you know, to get my first major championship out of the way quite early on in my career, especially after what's happened, you know, the last couple of months. You know, it feels great, and you know, just looking forward to putting myself in the picture for hopefully many more. To go out there, you know, basically, you know, from the get-go, birdie the first hole, and then you know, to play such solid golf after that. You know, it felt good all week. Even when I got here last week, you know, to do my practice rounds and everything, you know, I felt like, you know, this golf course was well suited to me.
All right, and so it was. Jason Day, the closest to him, like I said, he finished 8 strokes in front of the pack, 16 under. Jason Day was 8 under. How about that? Quickly, let's put this one in as I'm talking about Michigan. Hamlin was the big winner at the end. Take a listen to how it sounded.
Here they come off turn number 4. Denny Hamlin has the lead. He knows Kenseth is right behind him. Kenseth looks for a break. Pulls to the inside. Tries to draw even but cannot make it happen. Denny Hamlin scores his first win of the year here today at Michigan.
Did you hear the crowd? And that was tight. That was a down to the wire. That's when it's exciting. Like I said, if you like to watch the left turns, then you certainly like those kind of finishes. Also, there was another big thing that happened. Pujols, when you think of big-time hitters, one of the best in the business of baseball, I think some people were very concerned about Albert Pujols because the Cardinals were able to get by the Royals with a 5-4 win, but Pujols sprained his left wrist, hurt his shoulder. He was trying to make a tag at first base, and he was injured in, I think, the 6th inning, because I was watching a little bit of that. And this guy, he's the best hitter in baseball. 3-time NL MVP. You're in that crowd. You don't like seeing what you saw. You don't want to see a lot of replays of that. They still don't know. They're going to wait and see when he gets all the other x-rays and tests in, and they'll know if he's done for however long. But they got their fingers crossed, trust me, on those MRIs.